Okay, today we are continuing in the first parak of Maseches Pesachim. Today we are learning parak Aleph Mishnah Hey and parak Aleph Mishnah Vav. In the previous Mishnah, parak Aleph Mishnah Dalad Rabbi Huda taught us that according to him, Ani Midzer Rabbanon level, the prohibition of eating chametz begins at the start of the fifth hour. The prohibition of getting hana, of getting any benefit from your chametz, begins at the beginning of the sixth hour. And according to everyone, the Isser Min HaTorah, the Isser Min Da'arayis, the prohibition from the Torah of eating chametz or benefiting chametz or owning chametz begins at the beginning of the seventh hour. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, he wanted to give a little bit more time so that no one makes a mistake. And already from the fifth hour, he prohibited eating chametz on a Midzer Rabbanon level, and that is how we paskin. Now, our Mishnah here in Parak Aleph Mishnah Hey is going to cite some support. Rabbi Yehuda is going to cite some support for his opinion, as we will see what used to happen in Yerushalayim when the Beis HaMikdash was standing. It says the Mishnah Vod Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said further beyond his opinion. He also said Shtechalos Shel Toda Psulos. There were two disqualified chametz loaves of a korban toda that we're taking in the morning before Pesach and Erev Pesach. Now, first of all, what's a korban toda, and what makes a korban toda disqualified? So, as the Bar Tanura points out, the korban toda was an offering, was a korban that was brought by a person who wants to thank the Rabbeinu Shalom and wants to thank Hashem for having saved him from some sort of a terrible thing, whether it was a serious illness, whether it was he was released from prison or a very scary event happened, he was attacked by thieves, whatever the case. Maybe someone wants to thank Hashem for a calamity that he was saved from. So he brings a korban toda. Now, what does a korban toda consist of? So it consists of an animal, and it consists of 40 loaves of bread, 30 of which are matzah, and 10 of which are chametz. Now, the korban toda may be eaten only the day that it is brought and the following night. Anything beyond that following night is considered to be nosar, must be burnt, cannot be eaten, it becomes disqualified. So when our Mishnah says that we're talking about korban toda that was disqualified, it means korban toda that was no longer allowed to be eaten because it was beyond the night that it was allowed to be eaten. Now, each year, on the morning of Erev Pesach, on the 14th of Nisan, there were a large number of korban toda offerings that would become pasul, that would become invalid for the following reason. One is generally not allowed to bring a korban unless eating it will be permitted through the entire time that is allotted for its eating. Therefore, it was prohibited to bring a korban toda on Erev Pesach on the 14th of Nisan because the chametz part of the korban could not be eaten after midday, after chatzos, which is earlier than the end of the period that is allotted for the korban toda. Now, bringing a korban toda on Pesach itself is obviously not allowed because there's chametz in it. Therefore, people who wanted to bring a toda offering could not do so on the 14th, but had to bring it the day before or wait until after Pesach was over. This, therefore, explains the Bar Tanura, is why there were so many extra karbanos on this after the 13th of Nisan. There's an unusually large number of karban todas that were being brought on the 13th because it was impossible for all of them to be eaten before their deadline of Erev Pesach on the morning of the 14th, and therefore there were many that were left over uneaten, and they became disqualified. Now, since these disqualified karbanos had to be burned in any event, two of the chametz loaves were going to be used for this public signal, this public sign that Rabbi Yehuda is alluding to and describing in our Mishnah. So what exactly happened with these two disqualified chametz loaves of the karban toda? So they would umunachos al gag ha'istava. They were placed on the roof over the row of benches. The Bar Tanura points out the open area of the on the Makom HaMikdash on Har HaBayis was surrounded by benches on which people would sit, and the benches were covered by this protection in order to protect them from the rain. So on this roof over the benches, they would put these two disqualified chametz loaves of the Karban Toda, and says the Mishnah calls Man Shem Unachos, as long as both loaves were there. Were there on display. Kol ha'am ochlim, all the people knew they were still allowed to eat. It wasn't the time when it was prohibited to eat yet. However, nit la'achas tolin, but when one loaf was removed at the beginning of the fifth hour, they knew that at that point, it's this middle period where you're no longer allowed to eat on a midzer rabbanon level. And then lo ochlin velo sorfin, they were not allowed to eat it, but they but they were also not required to burn the chametz yet. And then nitlu shtayin, and then when both of the loaves were removed, then his chila kulam sorf. And then at that point, all the people knew that they must begin burning their chametz. So Rabbi Yehuda wants to bring a proof for his opinion that obviously, number one, at the beginning of the fifth hour, then at that point in time, they must suspend their chametz. They could not eat the chametz, but they also weren't required to burn the chametz at that point in time. And then when both of the loaves were removed, then at that point, they would begin to burn the chametz. They were no longer able to eat it. They were no longer able to get any benefit from it. At that point in time, they had to burn the chametz that was there. Now we're going to finish off the mission with a third opinion regarding the deadline for eating chametz. We don't paskin this way, but we do paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. But this is nonetheless the third opinion. Rabbi Gamliel Omer, Rabbi Gamliel says, Chulin ne'acholim kol arba. Ordinary, regular chametz can be eaten the entire fourth hour, not later. He holds, similar to Rabbi Yehuda, that we want to give 2 hours in between the actual time when it's Asr min haTorah, Asr on a Torah level, and when it's Asr midrabbanan on a rabbinic level. He wants to give 2 hour windows so that people don't make mistakes. Utruma kol chametz, whoever says that truma, which is the food that is only eaten by Kohanim, that can be eaten the entire fifth hour, because truma may not be destroyed unless absolutely necessary. I want to prevent truma from being destroyed. But then sorfin betrilas sheish, you must burn all chametz, whether it's truma or not, at the beginning of the sixth hour. So Rabbi Yehuda, the difference between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Gamliel is regarding truma, whether or not we allow you to still eat truma during that middle period or not. Again, we don't pask in that way. We assume, like Rabbi Yehuda, that whether it's truma, whether it's not truma, you can no longer eat it after once the fifth hour begins, and then you have to burn it at that point. Continuing now with Perek Aleph, Mishnah Vav. Now, this mission is not going to continue with regarding the laws of Pesach. It was simply added here because it serves as a little bit of an introduction to the next Mishnah's discussion concerning burning Truma, that is Chametz, on Erev Pesach. Now, by way of introduction, it's important to note that it is forbidden to cause Truma or any sort of Kachim, any sort of Karbanos, to become Tame. This mission here is going to discuss whether it is allowed to add greater levels of Tumah to Truma or Kachim that are already in a state of Tumah, that are already in a state of being impure. Says the mission, Rabbi Chanina, Skana Kohanim, Omer Bechanina, the assistant of the Kohanim, used to say, Mi Mayim Shal Kohanim, in all the days of the Kohanim, Lom Nimnu, Mi Listrof, Esabasar, Shinitma, Bivlada Tumah, they would not prevent themselves from burning any sort of Karbanos meat that had become tummy by touching a secondary source of tuma, what we refer to as a vladatuma, as a sheni latuma. So what happens is that a sheni, that when something touches a secondary source of tuma, a sheni latuma, then it becomes a shlishi latuma, the next level down of tuma. Im habasar shenitzma be'avatuma. So they would not prevent themselves from burning these karbanos that had become tuma by touching a secondary source of tuma, which is really a shlishi latuma, with other types of karbanos meat that became tuma by touching an avatuma, which would make it a rishon latuma. Again, there are different levels. I should have started the Mishnah with this. There are different levels of tuma. You have the avatuma, which is the something that came into contact with a dead body. You have the avosatum, which is the dead body itself. And then lower than the avatuma is the rishon latuma, the sheni latuma, the shlishi latuma, and so on and so forth. And the question here is, can I burn two different meats together when one of them is a higher level of tuma than the other? And it's going to make, if I take the avatuma, which came into contact with a dead body, and if I take a sheni latuma, and I burn them together, then the sheni latuma is going to become a rishon latuma. And the question is, can you do that? Says Rabbi Chanina, you absolutely can. FLP, shem mosif and tuma al tumaso. Even though by burning the two pieces of meat together, they were adding a greater level of tuma to the tuma of the first piece. Right? When the meat that was a shlishi touches the meat that was a rishon, so while being burned together with, what's going to happen? The shlishi is going to become a sheni, and its level of tuma is going to increase. Nevertheless, says Rabbi Chanina, the Kohanim would do that. They would burn such pieces together. Rabbi Akiva is regarded as even more lenient. Says Rabbi Akiva, Hosef Rabbi Akiva Amar. Rabbi Akiva went even further and he said, Mi mayam shal kohanim all the days of the kohanim lo nimnu milahadlik as hashemen shenifsal b'tvul yom. They did not prevent themselves from burning oil of truma that had become disqualified because it came into contact with a tvul yom, a person who is tame must immerse himself in a mikvah to become tahor, and even that, he does not become completely tahor until the night comes and Altesuk Chavim arrives, and of the day in which he actually went into the mikvah, and between the time that he immerses himself and the time that it becomes night, he is called a tvul yom, literally someone who immersed himself in the mikvah during the day, but is still not pure. Now, a tvul yom may not eat truma or kachim until the nightfall following his immersion in the mikvah, and if he touches them, they become contaminated with tuma, and a tvul yom has a sheni level of tuma. So we're talking again about we have a situation where we have oil of truma that came into contact with the tefil yom, and therefore it's a sheni level of tumah. And says the Mishnah, "Bener shenitzma b'tmeimes," and you can burn that in a metal lamp that became tameh from something that had become tameh from a dead body, making the lamp an avaduma. So says the Mishnah, you're allowed to do that. Afal pishim mosifin tumah al tumah. So even though by doing so they were adding greater level of tumah to the oil's previous level of tumah, right? That after coming into contact with the tefil yom, the oil only had a shlishi l'tumah. But then when it came into contact with the lamp, which was an av level of tumah, it becomes a rishon. So that in that case, it jumped two levels, not just one level. So Rabbi Akiva's teaching is even more lenient than Rabbi Chanina's, because again, it's jumping two levels according to Rabbi Akiva. According to Rabbi Chanina, you can burn two different types of fats together and meats together if it's going to jump up one level of tumah, but not two levels of tumah. Quick review: Perek Aleph, Mishnah Hey taught us that Rabbi Huda brought a proof for his opinion, namely that you have this a different period of time. You have first this period where eating chametz becomes usher at the start of the fifth hour, and then you have a middle period of time where it becomes usher at the start of the sixth hour when you burn chametz, and that was the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, and he cites a proof of that. They have these two disqualified karbanos, satoda, these loaves of bread that they would take the morning before Pesach and out of Pesach. They would put them on the Gag Ha'istav on the Beis HaMikdash, and everyone would see that as long as both loaves were there on display, all the people knew that they may still eat chametz. When one of the loaves was removed at the beginning of the fifth hour, they knew that they must suspend their chametz, and they would have to they would no longer be able to eat their chametz. La'ochlin v'losorfin, they wouldn't have to eat it. They also weren't required to burn it. But once both of the loaves were removed at approximately 11 a.m. at the beginning of the sixth hour, then all the people knew that they must begin burning their chametz. And the Mishnah concluded by telling us the opinion of Rabbi Gamliel that according to him, chulin, regular food, just like Rabbi Yehuda, must be can only be eaten until the fourth hour, of the day and not later. Truma, though, he says, can still be eaten in the fifth hour. We don't pass in that way, but that is the opinion of Rabbi Gamliel, because we want to avoid burning truma if we can. And then everyone agrees that the beginning of the sixth hour is when chametz would be burnt. And then Perek Aleph, Mishnah Vav, taught us the halacha of burning different types of things together that are different levels of tumah. Can you do it if it's going to add tumah to that which is already tameh? So Rabbi Chanina said that you're allowed to burn different things if it's going to jump one level of tumah. According to Rabbi Akiva, you could even burn different things together if it's going to jump two levels of tumah. Have a great day.